So, in the past 3 to 4 months, I've been doing a lot of freelancing work. Before this, I had never done freelancing because I used to think that, I should learn a little and I never wanted to work for anyone just for money. And I used to work on projects, but I always used to do it for free. But then around, I think, June or July, I was in Bangalore and I felt like I needed more money because I was in a new city and I had to pay my own rent. I was getting a very, very good stipend from Swiggy, and I was soon realizing that, maybe it's time that I should earn some money when I'm in college itself. And luckily, because of certain tips and tricks that I learned throughout this time, I have been able to find some really, really important tips that you guys can also know. And because a lot of people come and ask me that, how am I earning a lot of money? So right now, I am able to earn approximately, like, I'm not gonna say share the number because then I want, everyone to have their own parameters and their own beginnings and their own figures. So I won't say figures right now, but it's a good, strong number. It's a very good number and it's probably more than what you think. So, not bragging about it, but just sharing that all of us, in the beginning think that we cannot earn that kind of money. We cannot earn 30 to 40,000 rupees a month, which is just a subconscious program. There is a lot of money to make in this world. You just need to deserve that kind of money and you need to be in touch with people who can afford you. So, we are going to be discussing all of these points. How to begin freelancing as a UX designer, and there are many freelancing careers you can explore. But since I am into UX design, I would be sharing how you can start as a UX designer. And this is specifically for students who are not studying design because it's very difficult for us students who haven't studied design from a design school to actually get clients and get paid well for it. So there are certain things that you need to keep in mind when you're pitching your ideas, when you're getting your clients, and they will actually help you earn good amount of money. So without wasting any further time, let's get right into it. This is Ansh Mehra and you are listening to episode 22 of Take It Easy. In February, I realized that my CV is not impressive enough. I had a CV, I had a portfolio, I made a PDF of all my work and stuff, and I thought that would be enough. But then I realized that a website is the most powerful thing that you can ever have. And I would recommend you to build your own website. Get royalty-free templates from Google. Learn HTML, CSS online. It does not take too much time. It might take a month or so. But learn HTML, CSS. You do not need JavaScript. But learn how to make your own website and create your own website. Because the difference is, earlier I used to send someone my CV and say that, hey, my name is Ansh Mehra and I'm a UX designer. And this is all my work and on a PDF sort of a thing. And now if I tell them, hey, my name is Ansh Mehra, I'm a UX designer, and you can see my work on www.anshmehra.com, it instantly gives out a very professional vibe. Automatically, the bhav that I get is multiplied by 10 because I have my own website. So I'll tell you how the website thing works. First of all, you can download a royalty-free template or you can buy licensed templates as well and use HTML, CSS to modify that template according to your needs. So you can change the title, you can change the pictures, you can change the complete architecture and make it according to your own choice. Once your website is ready, you need to make an account on GitHub and push it on GitHub and buy a domain from Google Domains. That's what I did. So my domain anshmehra.com costed me around $800 for a whole year. Once you buy your domain, you need to go to GitHub and link your GitHub repo where you have uploaded all your HTML code to that domain. So whoever opens that domain, automatically it accesses all the files from GitHub. So if all your HTML, CSS files are on your laptop, whenever you make an update, you open your terminal, you push it onto GitHub, and within a span of 60 to 70 seconds, your website is refreshed. So you have complete control over your website. If you know how to edit your own website, you don't need to call your developer designer every single week whenever you have something new to update. That's why I'm asking you guys to learn HTML, CSS on your own. Do not depend on an external person to make your own website, because if you want to make any changes, you'll be stuck because if she or he is busy, you know, she will not do your work. So you need to make sure that you are doing your own work properly. As far as the difficulty goes, it might feel very intimidating in the beginning, but HTML, CSS is something that you should know. So I would recommend you to go to YouTube and learn HTML, CSS and build your own website. The second thing that I need you to do is go to as many competitions as you can, and whatever you do in those competitions, document, take pictures, write your, you know, keep everything, your sketches, your presentations and all, everything, and upload it on that website. Have a good portfolio of at least 4 to 5 projects. For example, I went to MIT and Harvard and Microsoft Imagine Cup. It was very difficult to go there, but all of these experiences have really helped me to have a strong impression. So before pitching, before approaching any clients, you should have at least 10 to 11 good looking projects, and you can go to Behance and see how to present your project. When I say that you need to present your portfolio, it's not like just add your random screens. You need to present it in a way, you need to, you know, connect it with a short story, you need to use good mockups, you need to use good typography, so that eventually the final product looks very professional. And you can have all sorts of projects. For example, my website has branding project, it has filmmaking projects. Whatever I've done throughout my school life, I've added everything, because you never know what the client wants. So you should put on the table whatever that you know. So I don't know where you can get clients. I get my clients from Internshala or Instagram. So what I do is I keep on browsing Instagram, and if I see someone creating very good content, I myself DM them. I message them saying that, dude, your content is amazing, but I think we can scale up with your design. And I send them 2 or 3 sample designs of their work without expecting anything in return. So when they see, you know, a very good looking poster of their own artwork, they understand the value that I bring to the table. So I think I would recommend you guys to, when you're approaching a client, send him a sample of something that involves his work, so that he knows what kind of value you bring to the table. Not everyone is a designer, not everyone is into branding. So they don't really know when you message them saying that I can help you do your branding. You know, they might be a businessman, they don't even know what branding is, but they understand the purpose, but they do not know the terminology that we use. So it's better that you always send them samples. So as a UX designer, I show them that, you know, your app is pretty cool, but we can improvise on these factors. So that guy knows that this guy is pitching me in a way that sounds influential to me. So once you get the client, you can get them from Internshala as well. So I have clients from Switzerland, California. I just got an invitation to work for a company based in London, and these sound very hi-fi, and you know, it sounds like, whoa, dude, California, Switzerland, London. Dude, internet has made this world a very small place, so it's not that difficult to get all these clients, and you can get them on Internshala. I get them on Internshala. But the prerequisite is you need to be good at what you do. You need to have a very strong website with a very strong portfolio and a lot of content on it. So if you do not have content, if you do not have website, start today. Become really good at what you do. So let's take UX designing in specific. As soon as I get a client for my UX design, the first thing I check is, am I excited about the project that I'm getting? Because if I am not excited, I will not work with my full potential. Money itself is not a very strong motivator. You might think right now that money is a very strong motivator. Once you earn money for 2 or 3 months, you'll get bored of it. And eventually you will look for work that really challenges you. So I look for work which actually excites me and something that I can add to my portfolio. So if I have been doing a lot of financial technology apps, so I do not take fintech apps. I take something like healthcare. Or if I haven't done an AR/VR project in a very, very long time, I take up an AR/VR project and, you know, I work on it so that I can enhance my skills in a new domain. Another thing that is important is to share your vision with the client so that you can, you know, keep a check on whether the client has the same vision as you have, because you know, there are some clients who might pay you a lot, but their point of view does not match with your point of view. So you need to have a mental compatibility with the person that you're working with. There should be a certain level of maturity with you and the client, otherwise you'll always end up with random arguments. And before taking any money, you need to first explain him and prove him that you deserve the money. That is very important. Even though he has agreed to give you 15 to 20,000 rupees a month, you need to prove him what you have in mind so that he also knows the kind of effort that you're bringing to the table. So I'll explain you my process, and this is something that I follow. It could be wrong, it could be, you know, against the conventional rules, but for a UX design project, the first thing that I do is we focus on research. Researching what the user is trying to do? Are there other companies who are trying to do the same thing? Are there any competitors? And if there are any competitors, what kind of apps are they making? Thoroughly checking their UI, making a list of their pros and cons, understanding what is working for them, what is not working for them, and basically doing a lot of research. So you can use Pinterest, you can use Behance, you can use Dribbble, you can Google as much as you want, and collect all these ideas in a single folder. If it's possible, take a printout, because hard copies are always better than soft copies. Then you need to ask your client, what does she want? So it's very important to understand what she has in her mind, because, you know, when someone is explaining you their idea, you get an image in your head, and it's not necessary that the image you are getting is same as the image your client has. So you need to ask your client, what exactly does she have in her mind? And you both need to be on the same page. You need to ask her, why are you doing this? Why are you trying to make this into this certain tone? Why is this functionality? Who is your target audience? You need to ask as many questions as you can, and spend at least 4 to 5 days just researching and asking what she wants. The second step is deciding functionality. You need to understand what problems you need to solve, what kind of functionalities do you need to solve that problem. And you need to list out all the functionalities and features that you're looking for. There's a thing called a mind map. You can go and figure that out as well. A mind map really helps you to clear out what all functionalities and features you can include in your application. Once your functionality is done, there is something that is known as an information architecture. So it's sort of a flowchart where you can actually map all the interactions that can exist. So for example, you can begin from the home screen. On the top, there's a home screen box. Then it breaks out into four multiple parallel branches. So from home screen, I can go to products, I can go to features, I can go to order online, I can go to call center, and, you know, just keep on adding branches to the information architecture. So you get to know how many pages I have, how many layouts I need to make, how many images, how much data, how much time will I spend. So once you look at information architecture, if you see, say, 5 functionalities, so you can give a brief that, okay, this might take around 10 days. But once you're making the information architecture, you realize that, dude, this has a lot of functionalities and there are a lot of variations. There are a lot of buttons and a lot of pages. So you get an estimate that, okay, this might not take 10 days. This might take around 20 to 25 days. So once your information architecture is done, then I don't know if this is the right way to do it. This is how I do it. I make the wireframes. So wireframes is like a skeleton of your user interface. So whatever I'm saying, you can go to Google and check them out. You can make wireframes by hand, or you can make wireframes on a software known as Sketch or Adobe XD. You can search their licenses online. So I use Sketch, and it's not even text or pictures. It's just boxes. So you make the wireframe and you sort of make a skeleton, and it doesn't take too much time, and you send those wireframes to the client, so he gets to know that this is the kind of vision that you're going towards. So in some wireframe, you might make a very big profile picture and very short bio, or in another wireframe, you might have a very small profile picture and a good enough bio. So you get to understand what things do we need to prioritize, what kind of layout we will have, and it's just a structure, a very basic rudimentary structure of how the interface is going to be. Now, after the wireframe is done, I need to ask my client if she has a branding in mind. If they have a branding, branding is what kind of color palettes are they using, what kind of tone are they using, what kind of fonts they have been using, what kind of image are they portraying for so long. So if they have a branding, you need to follow their branding guidelines. For example, there's material design and all for Android and stuff. So if they already have branding guidelines, you can follow their branding guidelines. Otherwise, most of the clients that I have do not have any branding. So we need to figure out their branding as well. And I'll have a separate session for branding. You know, there's this YouTube channel by the name of GFX Mentor. He teaches it in Hindi. He's a brilliant teacher. So you can go check out his tutorials on logo design and branding. He explains it very well. So we figure out the branding of his software, you know, what kind of color palettes we'll use, what kind of fonts we're going to use, what kind of tone are we going to set. And then we start adding colors to the wireframing. And this comes under user interface design. So once your wireframe is done, once your branding is done, third step is adding life to those wireframes. So now we add our images, now we add our text, and, you know, we do all this stuff. So that is called UI design, and that is also done in a software known as Sketch. But if you do not have a MacBook, then you can use Experience Design. Once your user interface is done, you need to make sure that your client is involved throughout the process. Send him as many samples as you can. Keep asking him if he can contribute to more ideas, if he thinks something is right or not. You know, give him different variations, because in the end, we are doing this to make sure that we are able to achieve what the client had in mind. And design is a very collaborative process. It's very easy to get so lost in your own process that you forget that we are doing this for the client. So you need to make sure that the client is always there. And there are some features available in Sketch where you can upload your sketch file on Sketch Cloud, and you can share that Sketch Cloud link with your client so he can, you know, instantly see what's going on. There is Zeppelin as well. You can share your work on Zeppelin and you can share it instantly with a link. So as soon as he clicks on that link, he can see all the designs. So once your UI design is over, we come on to UX. And by the way, I'm skipping a lot of steps because this is a very brief podcast. I'm just showing you the basic process. So once your UI is done, you go on to UX. And that is adding animations. It's not actually UX. It's not typically the actual UX I'm talking about. But this is just adding life to those static images. So a UX prototype can be made in Principle or Figma or InVision app. So that's an online website app where you can actually see your phone and you can click on the buttons and change the screens. So that helps you to communicate your ideas more comprehensively. So once you're done with your UI, once you're done with your prototype, show it to the client. And the most important thing is getting reviews. So ask the client to show this app to his friends and families, because right now only two or three people are involved in the whole design process and you might miss out on a lot of details. It's very important to get opinion from outside, because in the end, this app is going to be launched for someone who is not a developer or a designer. So people need to understand, and we need to check if our design is actually using, day-to-day references, or if our design is actually working out with new people. So you need to get user review on it, get as many reviews on as you can, you know, keep a note of all the criticism, keep a note of all your work that you do, and do not feel bad about your work. If someone criticizes your work, do not feel bad about it, because you are not your work. When someone criticizes your design, they are criticizing that product. They are not criticizing you. And it's very difficult to detach yourself from that product. But in the end, you need to realize that everyone needs to work for the product. When someone criticizes your design, it's to make sure that the design improves. They are not criticizing you. So never be offended if someone is criticizing your design work. Once your prototype is done, once you get your user reviews, do the iterations and finish the product. And you know, eventually deliver it within a span of month or two. Some important points to keep in mind, and I might have to do a second part to this because we are running out of time. Make sure that you keep a track of all the deliverables that you give. In the end, you know, keep some rules and guidelines, like tell your client that I would not exceed these number of iterations, I will not exceed these deliverables, so that you are paid for what you deserve and you know you don't overwork for less amount of money. Of course, in the beginning you will not get paid enough. I would recommend you to pay yourself very less, I mean charge very less money, because you need to spread word of mouth and you need to become better as well. But eventually with time you will get paid more. And if you've already been doing a lot of freelancing and you still think that you're stuck at very minimal prices, you need to deliver your products well. So I'll be sharing in my next podcast, we'll be sharing how to deliver your products, how to pitch your products properly, how to present it to a client so that he feels that, you know, he's paying you well. And, you know, keeping a track of your deliverables, keeping a track of your dates, keeping a track of how much time you're spending on the project, and how to actually ask for what you truly deserve. But yeah, I think we've covered quite some stuff in this podcast, and I do not want this to exceed or become too long. So, you know, I'm going to end this right here. Again, you know, these are the things I follow. It could be different from what you follow, but, you know, just wanted to share what I felt is helpful. So yeah, that's about it. And I do not mean to offend anyone, as I always say. And if you still think that I've said something inappropriate, you can message me on Instagram on @AnshMehra. So yeah, that's about it. This was Ansh Mehra, and you are listening to episode 22 of Take It Easy.